says that.
I would love to talk to you for hours, and I have a feeling our audience would love to listen to you for hours.
Gino Kish were students at Temple Law, by night co-stars of Talkadelphia.
Hello and welcome to the 33rd episode of Talkadelphia. This week we heard from John Rosenberg, who you'll remember from our 13th episode. Rosenberg, a writer, director, actor, and founder of HelloFresh Theater Company, presents Queen of All Weapons, a play running July 9th through July 31st at the Paper Mill Theater in Kensington. All shows are Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m., and tickets are $10. You can find a link with more information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/talkadelphia.
You may have heard that this year, for the first time ever, a Philadelphia City Council resolution recognized April 25th to 30th as Philly Tech Week, a week-long celebration of innovation and technology organized by Christopher Wink and his colleagues at Technically Philly, a news site covering technology, startups, and venture capital in the city. We went to visit Christopher in the Tech Philly headquarters at Temple University's Center City campus and sat down to ask the co-founder about the site, Philly Tech Week, and other techie questions.
Well, welcome to Talkadelphia, Christopher Wink.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we're here with Chris, and he is the, I want to make sure I get all these titles right, the co-founder of Tech Philly, which is the premier technology news site in Philadelphia. And he...
Full self-adulation. There's three of them.
I'm reading from your resume. Yeah. The co-founder of Technically Media Incorporated, which is a business development, strategic planning, you're a consultant.
Yeah, it's a dirty C word, but yes.
Right. And then you're also a media strategist.
Yeah, God, it just makes me sound like so, I would hate me if I heard this. Let's make that sound a whole lot less like I'm a jerk and just say we're Technically Media, we work with nonprofits that create content online, and we have some experience creating content online from a news site called Technically Philly. Let's keep it simple like that.
Okay.
And I'm a jerk and I write about news stuff. That's the real short of it.
He helps people.
Oh, God. People wouldn't say that either.
Looking at your resume, I'm seeing a pattern. So 2008, media strategist. 2009, Technically Philly. 2010, Technically Media. So it seems like you just want to add to your titles every year. So what is it? What's it going to be this year? Like, when's it rolling out?
The real reality is, so I graduated from Temple University, a proud Temple Owl. I graduated from Temple in 2008 with my two colleagues, my two co-founders. And we graduated, we all kind of went separate ways. One of my colleagues, Sean Blanda, was an assistant web editor at City Paper, and my colleague, Brian James Kirk, was doing something with Mobile Burn, which is a mobile development website. I was in Harrisburg in the State House with some newspapers covering State House, and we all came back together and kind of thought where we'd go next, and decided that we wanted to stay in Philadelphia, and even though we had some opportunities elsewhere, Philadelphia is where we wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So if we wanted to have a job in Philadelphia, we'd have to create it for ourselves, particularly that state, which is late 2008, early 2009. So the accrual of titles is more a reality that the titles got more real.
Yeah.
So right after college, it was, I like to write about, just news organizations that I love, legacy media organizations in Philadelphia, and how an outsider's view of what they might do. And that's the nonsense called media strategist, which is nonsense. It's all nonsense. And then we add a second title when we launched Technically Philly in 2009, which started out as nothing more than a three jerks on a blog that covered the technology community, startups, and venture capital. So that was an accrual of a second title, a little bit more real. And then we've seen since an additionally more real title. Technically Media is an actual business we founded. We actually make money. We actually pay ourselves. It's actually our full-time job.
Yeah.
We have office space in Center City. We do real work and work with real organizations. We have a client work with National Constitution Center. We're doing stuff with Campus Philly, Plan Philly's development site, and we publish Technically Philly. So the accrual of the job shows finally I've added something. And to your exact point, no more job titles, because now I'm at an actual job. It's my job, and I love it, and I'm paid for doing it, and I'm enjoying it.
Maybe you should just replace all that with Boss.
God
boss,
knows.
Like
not
a boss.
But I said it's all made up, so I can't. I'm the boss of no man. Sometimes I think, if I was to crash on a desert island, all these jobs that we made up over the past, the dot-com era, they're so truly useless. I can't, you know, the skills, the formidable skills of hunter and gatherer are a lot more important than you know, knowing how to create content on the web. I think it's cool and important and can help shape communities and do really passionate, important things. But when it comes down to the most important things, you know, I'm still just nobody.
So you're putting it into Darwinian perspective.
Yes.
So you're.
I want to remind that I do not lose perspective. We are nothing but we get to do fun stuff, and we think it's important. We think the technology community really shapes Philadelphia, and can do a lot of good. It can create jobs. It can make government more transparent and efficient. It can increase access to low-income Philadelphians. So we think we do important things and are involved in a community that does important things, but we are not lost in the reality that what we do is very inconsequential.
So you're not full of yourself. Good.
Well, people probably say something else otherwise.
Well, can we go back a little and start with your freelance career? Your career as a freelance journalist. I mean, I remember when you were writing for City Paper, for, what was it, Inquirer?
Sure.
Everyone and their mom. how did you originally think that's what you were going to do?
No, I mean, I think like a lot of, I think mine is a very, at this point, cliched story of someone graduating in 2008. You know, the 2007, 2008, 2009 period for folks was, you know, kind of right when the recession was mm-hmm. bottoming out. So my colleague, you know, Brian James Kirk and Sean Blind, my two other co-founders of Technically Media and Technically Philly, experienced very similar realities. I think it was we were trying to figure out, we were weighing where we wanted to be with what we wanted to do and how we could do it. And we had a lot of very real conversations in Philadelphia. I think all three of us would say we very much fought to be in Philadelphia. You know, 50 years ago, people were, and continued to flee Philadelphia. I think, in our vantage point, we fought really hard to be in Philadelphia, and so we did what we could to stay in Philadelphia. I got turned down for a lot of like bartending jobs in Philadelphia in 2009. So I did what I had a modicum of knowledge on, and that was writing whatever I could. So I did I learned a lot and failed a lot, made a lot of mistakes, and I made a lot of editors mad. And I was a young journalist trying to work through that. So I think mine is a very cliched story of just someone trying to tread water until I could stand again.
And I think we would be remiss not to mention that not only were you dealing with a recession at that point, but the journalism industry was also at a crisis.
Yes.
So how, like, and, you know, I guess it helps that you have, you know, a little bit of a technical background, but, you know, how are you dealing with that on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really interesting story, right? It's like an industry that was at its worst, an economy that was theoretically at its worst, and I was young and knowledgeless and green, which all those things I still am in reality. So I think we've just tried to keep moving. We're blessed almost by a journalism community that is still new in its entrepreneurial roots. So just by virtue of us making an ounce of money and being able to pay ourselves full time and bootstrapping through that, we've been blessed with a little bit of recognition just because we actually make money. Not a lot of money, but we're actually paying ourselves a real salary. Yeah. So how do we work through that? It's been just moving. We're blessed that we had some of those roots of journalism, you know, the ethics and the groundwork, but blessed to think outside of it. So one of our more, in the end, profitable ventures, but we also think one of the more important mission-oriented one was Philly Tech Week. We had a lot of sponsors and did a lot of great work around the last week of April, which is this Philly Tech Week, an open calendar of events, 65 to 70 events around the technology community, from robotics expos to entrepreneurial events to social media and access stuff and beyond. And we did that because, though we understood ethical limitations of event planning, we were new enough and desperate enough to do what made sense. Mm-hmm. And event planning is the future of news, we often say. So I think the answer to how we work through that is knowing a journalism framework, but being really willing to step outside of it.
I wanted to touch a little bit on your business model. I mean, coming from a print background, and seeing how Philadelphia Inquirer, you know, is facing financial difficulties, and then you have the New York Times trying to make money with its paywall. Did you learn from that when it came to creating Tech Philly, making it like a sustainable model?
Right. I mean, maybe a little bit. I think there's a couple really important points. The Philadelphia Inquirer and other general interest newspapers are incredibly important, a lot more important than we are. and their obstacles and difficulties are far beyond what ours are. We do not have longstanding legacy concerns. We do not have union concerns. There's no end to the challenges that the Philadelphia Media Network faces that we do not. And the work they do, covering a broad region, is not what we do. We cover a very narrow, very relatively affluent, involved, forward-thinking technology community. We have all the reasons to succeed. That said, it's been really hard, and it's been a challenge nonetheless, but I want to underscore how much respect I have for all professional journalists, and we absolutely consider them our peers, and we think we do a lot of what they do better, but they do far more overall than we do altogether, right? Mm-hmm. So we cover startups and the technology community better than the Inquirer does, fact. But the Inquirer has a broader impact, as we all know, than we will ever begin to do. So I think it's important to say that, right? Like, did we learn lessons from other really brilliant mentors and people who work at those institutions? Absolutely. But we have to understand that we are in a fundamentally different place. We could start totally new. We could be an event planning organization. You know, we make money in kind of three big ways right now. We do kind of the technical media, kind of consulting with nonprofits, the National Constitution Center and the like. We do some event planning, you know, Philly Tech Week, Switch Philly, other events that we get event sponsorships around. And we do some foundation funding, not for operational purposes, but for specific projects. So the William Penn Foundation is a gracious supporter of ours in open data coverage. We work with American University on coverage of broadband access for low-income Philadelphians. So those are three models that the Inquirer is in touch.
Yeah.
With a partnership with HYY, they have a little bit of funding around it's our money, but that's not, you know, anywhere near substantial. So what I mean to say is we were blessed to be able to start all new.
Yeah.
Our three primary ways of funding are not at all touched by newspapers because we've had the ability to start all anew. So, you know, advertising is a very little portion of our revenue. So in short, if we've learned lessons, it's because we saw just because you're brilliant doesn't mean you'll succeed.
Yeah.
There are a lot of smart, really knowledgeable people, very well-sourced people there, and there are much bigger hurdles. News does not have a business model problem. Newspapers do. And we can be a profitable business and will be. We're working really hard, but we can do this, and other folks can too.
Well, it seems like, and you touched on this a little bit, you kind of avoided making the hard decisions that the newspapers had to do. Like, they had to decide, you know, do we have to cut off this arm? Whereas you basically started off and said, we have a niche, and we're focusing on that niche. Or, you know, other newspapers had to say, you know, to what extent do we scale back print? Where you started off and said, you know, that's not our area. So you're not dealing with those challenges, but what challenges do you face?
Yeah, I mean, a lot. We still grasp. Here's the reality of journalism around, online or otherwise. The best reporting is the worst paying. We want to cover important things, we will not be paid well for it. Both in traffic, which folks who focus on advertising matters a lot to, and in adulation and in interest from sponsors and advertisers. So that's the fundamental biggest obstacle we have. We are really passionate about those three ways the technology community impacts Philadelphia, and I say it every 3 seconds, so consider it a cliche on my own, but technology community is important for access for low-income Philadelphians, making government more transparent and efficient, and creating jobs in Philadelphia. Find me a sponsor who truly cares about that. Having their brand next to it. It's a nice secondary cost that technically Philly does important stuff and we want to be associated with them, you know, indirectly, but directly we don't have that. So the challenge is that we are balancing the naivete and the mission-oriented idealism of 20-somethings who want to cover important things in addition to covering a broad technology community, but needing to fund it. So what three ways do we make money? Consulting. So we work with nonprofits. That can be seen as important. We're helping nonprofits get a word out. But consulting is, again, one of the ugliest words that I've ever said, and I hate saying it. Secondly, event sponsorship. So events, we throw parties, and people want to be eventing around that. The third piece is foundation, right? So, and as I said, foundations do not support our base level salaries. Foundations support extra projects, the most important journalism we do. So when the obstacle we face, the first obstacle I think we face is dealing with a balance between covering important things and covering what is easiest. Mm-hmm. So we think no one else cares about city IT policy, and where $25 million in city funding goes toward city IT budget, because it's relatively inconsequential in a broader picture. But it's still money.
Yeah.
It's still a technology community that impacts a lot. So we cover it, no one else does, and we balance doing that with a lot of other realities. So what is the biggest obstacle? It's facing that.
Yeah.
Now you've
and then also just, I'm sorry, just normal startup stuff. You're still, we're still scale. We're three people trying to figure out roles. Everything that any startup business does, from a restaurant to a flag making warehouse, a factory, we face those same challenges. So it's no different than those. They're very, you know, normal startup realities that we face.
Now you have a background in political science. That was your course of study at Temple. And you mentioned that technically Philly focuses on city government, transparency of city government. Would you ever be interested in running for office?
I think
politics
far,
in your future?
I think far too young for that. We are still figuring out our place in a very deceivingly large city with a lot of different powers and directions. So for the time being, we're focusing on trying to get a business running. And I think that's first and foremost, and I can't imagine thinking beyond much more than that.
Tell us how you worked with City Council to get Philly Tech Week going, because this was the first event of its kind. I mean, it's pretty significant both in the tech community and with other nonprofits like, what was the,
Young Involved Philadelphia. Philly Tech Week, you know, we obviously had some other sponsors that were interested early on. Chariot Solutions is a great partner of ours. So there were other sponsors who were early on involved, but we were the leading organizers. It was, you know, I think when we first talked, I think my colleague Sean Blanda was the first to kind of put out the idea written. So it was fully our idea informed. We unabashedly stole quite a lot of the construct from Beer Week, and we kind of spoke to them and credited them with taking another niche community and bringing it to a broader conversation. So we're not very bright, but we're really good at taking other smart people's ideas and using them for the best of the community.
So you took it from Philly Beer Week?
Well, we can get to that in a moment. Beer Week is doing wonders for a niche community.
I had no
absolutely.
Idea. I had no idea those are some of them.
Truly. Goodness, what am I, what is... I got off on a Beer Week tangent.
So you took a good idea, you modeled it after that, and you rolled with it?
Right.
I was just trying to get an idea of like how you collaborate with
So what I meant to say is that City Council was not a formal collaborator of ours. Okay. Councilman Bill Green, who's someone who talks a lot about important issues in the technology community, politics aside, we're journalists, we'll get into that, but... has been interested in Technically Philly from early on. That much we can say factually. He's been a supporter of ours in all of what that means, interested in the technology community. And he saw Philly Tech Week and thought it was an opportunity to do one of these vanity resolutions, you know. And they are vanity resolutions. At every level of government, they're seen as often as a waste of time. But what I think it can do is help do two things. One, formally acknowledge a city government or any government's interest and awareness of something that is a modest importance, and secondly, share that with the rest of the body. So in City Council's case, what was interesting to us was City Councilman and a handful, Jim Kenny, a handful of other City Council members who were aware of us and interested in the technology community knew us already, but there were those who hadn't. It was hard still to get calls back from sometimes City Council because there's, you know, a contingent that still didn't understand, if you're not the Inquirer, the Daily News, why am I talking to you? So when we do real reporting, it helped us to have that acknowledgement. So to answer your question most directly, we organized Philly Tech Week with the great support of a lot of donors and supporters. The city was not a formal partner, though portions of both the Commerce Department was a big advocate of our Switch Philly startup demo event, and City Council was very interested in the overall picture. So pieces of the city were interested, but they were not a formal partner.
I'm kind of interested, you know, you've talked about your collaborators, Sean and Brian, and I'm kind of interested in how you guys work together and what each of you brings to the table.
What he's trying to say is, do you fight as much as Gino and I do when it comes to working together?
So here's my advice to any two-person teams. We were asked this once at Barcamp News Innovation a couple years ago, and the answer is, I think we found a really beautiful balance in working in threes, because what we found is we do fight, but it's often one of us fighting with another, and then a third can be a referee. So right now there are no formal roles. We are the three who, and we circle roles. Obviously we have different skill sets, but they're close enough that we all kind of offer somewhat similar vantage points, and it's about timing. And in terms of balance of support for each other, I find that really interesting, that I find at any given moment, probably one of us is fighting with the other, but there's always support there. I think that's always kept us balanced, because I'll say, and PR aside, honestly, this has been the longest, best functioning, you know, partnership I've ever had. It's still very much a real partnership. So I think, in short, the power of threes, which we actually have, I think we did an Ignite Philly presentation on that. The power of threes in that there's always someone there to balance. Because, you know, you're like, ah, Gino's such a jerk. And you can say it to your other partner, and the partner's like, well, no, but you see this from his perspective. And you're like, all right, he's not that big.
In unrelated news, Talkadelphia is taking resumes for an intern. So you can send that over to us at talkadelphia@gmail.com. All right.
It's the sign up.
But so you were friends before you were colleagues. Were you close friends? I mean,
not
just
really.
Classmates? Not
I mean, yeah.
Friends?
I mean, we worked at the college newspaper. And
so you started
at Temple. There you go. We were all worked at the college newspaper. Brian, I think, famously didn't take kindly to me at all. We just kind of, you know, worked, and then we kind of left college, graduated, as I said, went different directions, and Brian had real interest in the technology community, thought it was real. Talked to Sean about it being an opportunity, and Brian had kind of the original kernel of idea. Sean was you know, thought that I'd written for the Philadelphia Business Journal, maybe I could offer some kind of traditional business reporting background, I suppose, limited as that may be, and brought me on. So Sean brought us together, and I was the jerk that, I don't know, my job is to push a lot, but we all push. The roles are all incredibly important. Brian and Sean are instrumental in this.
You know, I should have asked this question from the beginning, but I'm not a techie. Yeah. So when your site came out, I had no idea what you guys were going for. And it has evolved over the years. Can you tell me just a few of the regular features you guys have and
sure.
what you're... Because at first I was like, is it a blog? Is it journalism? Like,
right.
What is this?
So I think there's three different directions for that, for what you're asking me.
Power of three.
One, exactly. And you'll find that in a lot, right? I think there is this, we've had that really interesting conversation about, are we a blog? And you'd be surprised how often people ask us that, because blog has these two meanings.
Mm-hmm. Dirty word.
Blog is as a format, like our, technically is a blog format. It's reverse chronological order content, single stream, right? Like that is foundationally and fundamentally, by definition, a blog. So yes, we are a blog by definition. But right, so blog has a second, and I don't necessarily mean that it's negative, but a second layer that it's, you know, large aggregation, opinion on top of news, and that's what a blog is also, right? Like, you know, perhaps a personal voice. And ours is almost boringly based in traditional journalism direction. We aggregate portionally in the way that any forward-thinking web property does, but the majority of our content is originally sourced from multiple source reporting. You know, our open data stuff, the William Penn Foundation funded Transparent City work on the open data initiative, City Hall coverage in Philadelphia. I mean, I write stories that are you know, 3 months of reporting. So that's obviously an older vision of journalism. So first answer is we are blog in format, but certainly take seriously the idea of the word journalism entity. Secondly, I think that's kind of the crux of it. In terms of regular content, in short, we cover a lot of startups, City Hall innovation policy, venture capital, and the technology community, right? So like the people who consider themselves, people who consider themselves part of the technology community. So it's a lot of iPhone developers and graphic designers, but it's also an Ignite Philly and a, you know, Refresh Philly or TEDx, these events and the community within them who aren't necessarily developers and coders, but see themselves in this broader, often web-based community. And that's been it. Our original tagline was covering the people who, we don't use it anymore, so I'm dating myself, but covering the people who use technology in Philadelphia. something like that. So the idea being that it's people who are interested in technology, not necessarily you're a developer at X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I guess, the second answer. First was that we're a blogging format, journalism entity. The second is that we, you know, cover a broad sweep of people who are doing innovative stuff in Philadelphia. Yeah. My third item, which I will bring up momentarily, some regular features that you'd ask. So, yeah, we do a Friday Q&A, usually with someone usually it's meant to be someone of a little bit bigger note, but that varies from, we do exit interviews whenever someone from the technology community leaves Philadelphia. We want to hear why and what that means about brain drain, or if it's just common conversations. We try to push conversations beyond just reporting news, but offer kind of a real conversation. We see ourselves that the future of news is convening. So we report on the news, but we're interested in convening a conversation, trying to make that, create action around that, and how to improve that conversation. So the exit interview series, which is just one of a half dozen series we run from time to time, has been one of the most popular, one of the most cited instances of us doing something that we tried to push something with. So, oh, you're leaving Philadelphia, that's fine, but let's talk about why. And, you know, was it just family reasons, or was it tax-related, or was it education, or was it something altogether, and what does that mean, how do we develop that? So, the third answer is that, like every other entity, blog or otherwise, we have a handful of regular features that kind of touch on different spheres, but, you know, we there's pieces of interest, more general interest, when there's an iPhone or smartphone or text message or web-based app that interests people, you know, we'll often find who's developing that, why is it interesting, what has it worked, and often those pieces extend beyond just the technology community. So we did one of our more popular pieces of the past couple of weeks was we did a piece on a Philly mural guide app that got released during Philly Tech Week. It's a web-based app that tracks all the murals in Philadelphia and can tell you where the nearest one is and what who created it. SEPTA, we broke the SEPTA real-time transit view stuff, where there's now a web-based app where you can track the real-time locations of buses and trolleys in Philadelphia. So,
Wait, what?
Yeah,
I need this. Buses and trolleys
on Technically Philly. No, Transit View is a new SEPTA initiative that launched out its real-time bus and trolley updates.
That's so cool.
Yeah, very awesome. Cool.
I've been talking about inventing that for years.
So that's a perfect case of something that obviously crosses a more general interest vantage point, but has a technology pitch.
Cool.
Wow. You guys do a lot.
We try. But, you know, that said, as a startup business, it's just, the editorial content of Technically Philly is a small portion of our time, not nearly as much as we want. When we first started, we figured we'd give it a few months and see if this was a rich enough ecosystem for us to exist, and we're still running down this internal list of organizations we just have to mention at some point. There's just so much happening that we don't do nearly as much editorial content as we ought to.
And what was the initial reaction from the community? I always like to ask, what did the naysayers tell you?
Yeah.
Because there is a vibrant tech community, but...
I think Philadelphia's technology community is not almost developed, not developed in a way that it's really competitive or negative. So the technology community was really embracing from the very start. I think it was very much, no one thought we were meaningful, no one cared about us, and no one does. I think it was very early on, a lot of support from the core technology community. I think there was more... there's always just more pushback about, in kind of, I think, more journalism circles are you just, what are you, what is a blog? Are you a blog? I think the more negative reactions we got was from...
the parental circles.
Not even that. I think, you know, media and news, people who we thought we had the best relationships with, I think, are folks who first were, and early on, pushed back about, oh, they're incredibly important. Oh, they're meaningless. Oh, they're jerks. Oh, they're great. And I think that, so we've taken to ignoring it and not really caring very much, that we care a lot more about a technology community than we think are really important and have been very supportive on us from very early on. So I think what I think is interesting from a lot of niche sites I've had my hand in or been involved with, that I think the first most loyal supporters are often some of the biggest names. So in the technology community, a lot of the leaders of the technology community were the first ones to really embrace us because they recognized our value, if for nothing else than to just validate the importance of this technology community. Yeah. Even if we weren't going to be good, even if we weren't going to be persistent, the fact that someone thought this was vibrant enough, a scene that it deserved, it merited, it demanded coverage, was interesting to a lot of technology community. So the tech scene by and large, was very supportive. I mean, in truth, our hardest journalism happens at the city level. In terms of real business coverage, we're honest, so sometimes that ends up being negative, but most often we're a cheerleader. So often the cheerleaders don't get razzed from the people that are cheerleading. You get razzed from the people who are also cheerleaders, right? Yeah. Like, who rags on cheerleaders? Other cheerleaders.
Did not know.
There's a cheerleader dance. No. I used to be a cheerleader.
So you talked a little bit about the Philly tech scene. You talked about where it's been and kind of where it is. Now, where do you see it heading?
Yeah, I mean, I think the technology community in Philadelphia is tasked with a couple things. One, we've been really interested in collaboration across lots of different corners of the technology community. There's a very rich life sciences and biomedical community in kind of University City and Western suburbs. There's kind of, you know, a younger, more kind of social media or indie hall kind of just kind of cooler, younger vibe. There's a startup entrepreneurial scene. There's academics. There's a lot of these different portions that all saw themselves as the extent of the technology community. So I think one big role of the future of the technology scene here in Philadelphia will be seeing how we can collaborate. Because a lot of other cities will have often a segmentation and it just grows out of that. Or I think Philadelphia could be unique in a real collaboration because we're starting with that awareness that connection is important. And secondly, I think authenticity will be real. But I think that's Philadelphia as a whole. Philadelphia has all these great reasons to be an international city by its old standards, but because the 20th century was so cruel to us and we're kind of coming out of that slumber a little bit slower, we had this great opportunity to do something special. And a lot of cities that perhaps gentrified or brought back kind of reversed some of white flight and educated beyond that, they lost a lot of that authenticity. And so I think Philadelphia's technology community and Philadelphia as a whole can do something interesting around trying to keep some of its unique, authentic roots while still embracing changes and innovation and new ideas. And so I think the technology community also needs to do that. It needs to understand how can it keep its authentic flair of being community-driven and not too confrontational or competitive, but also realizing its potential as being a truly impactful national, if not international, scene.
And you talk about that, and it's really funny, and people, you know, since this is just audio, you can't see it, but you're talking about that, and directly behind you is the Would Love Philadelphia, and I think, you know, that's a big step in that authenticity and that waking from the slumber, and, you know, it's gotten great reviews, so
yeah.
I love that campaign, so.
Yeah, Philadelphia has no shortage of cheerleaders, particularly in the technology community. There are a lot of educated people who are choosing to be here, because the technology community here is still relatively young, so you could be elsewhere. So a lot of our readers are really devoted, passionate people. We joke that some of our best read content has the word taxes in the headline, because these are people who want Philadelphia to be better for businesses and their own well-being. And so some of the boring stuff really interested them. So really civically engaged. Open Data Philly, you know, a data catalog of governmental data. We had unveiled that during Philly Tech Week. It was at noon. It was on a Monday, on a beautiful day. It was a data catalog, and we couldn't fit the 180 people that came.
Wow.
So I think there's a community that's really engaged and interested in civic action. So
yeah,
Philadelphia has no shortage of lovers in the technology community. I just hope we can still be as spirited and authentic as we are while we still continue to grow.
Yeah.
And we have challenges around retaining our top talent, which has been a Philadelphia concern that, again, is easing and is bettering, but we still see really vibrant startups leave. There's a reason why Exit Interview was one of our best series. It's because it's something that really people felt.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you chose to stay in Philadelphia. But you're originally a Jersey boy. Sorry, I had to cut you off.
That's not a call out. I'm proud of it. There's nothing. Northwest New Jersey, Sussex County, the rural corner of New Jersey. Very proud. No call out there. I'm very proud of that.
Just tell us a few reasons. Like, how did you fall in love with Philadelphia, and why did you want to stay here?
I think the...
Why are you not in Silicon Valley?
I think the quickest... I'm probably not smart. No. I think the quickest answer, that's not true. Philadelphia is just as competitive. I think the quick answer for me was in college. Temple, you know, was an environment, it was a university that both in courses and in my life and as an individual who was curious and where I lived, I loved being forced out of dormitories. I was only in the dormitory my freshman year, and I loved that. It got me in a row home nearer to Temple Hospital. and it kind of helped me find neighborhoods. I think I started learning in college and still maintain to this day that I feel like Philadelphia has every reason to be a winner, but is still considers itself an underdog. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's a really safe bet. Philadelphia technology community, Philadelphia as a whole, being a homeowner, it's all going to make sense in my vision of the future of Philadelphia. It's all going to go. It was no surprise to me when census figures did confirm a population increase again, the slowing mm-hmm. of that trend. I have this just real clear sense that Philadelphia has every reason to win, and we just haven't been labeled as that yet. So mm-hmm. for me, that's great. Yeah. Like I get to be a part of that movement. I'm part of building something rather than going somewhere else and just trying to be part of the winner mm-hmm. or what is viewed as the winner. We can shape that and be a part of it. So this is a really great community that is still figuring itself out, so I can be a part of that. And I think that's in the short of it. More broadly, I think for all three of us, we always joke that our biggest editorial bias is Philadelphia. We love the region as a whole, but because all three of us are not from Philadelphia, we were blessed that we were able to take Philadelphia proper mm-hmm. as a primary adorer. I always joke that Philadelphia is my top geographical identity. New Jersey is number two. Pennsylvania is number three. I love Pennsylvania, but yeah. as a state, I don't identify with as much as I identify with Philadelphia's municipality. So we joke with our startups who are in Conshohocken. When are you coming to Philadelphia? The mayor says that he has to be seen as a regional mayor. The Chamber of Commerce and the Economy League would chase him down otherwise. But we can be very, very city biased. We love the region and would always rather companies and businesses be in the region than nowhere, but we always prefer them in Philadelphia. So I think we're very devoted to Philadelphia specifically. And I think all of us experienced a real idolatry for a city that has a real uniqueness and vibrancy, but is so big. Any other city of this size or magnitude has gentrified beyond recognition. Mm-hmm. It still has a really unique authenticity. Some of it's been lost, but some of it still remains.
And I think that sentiment carries greater weight. You know, you have a lot of people who say that, but have never really been outside the area. And not only are you coming from Jersey, but you've gone to
Africa. It's not exactly a million miles away.
You've gone to Africa, you've gone to Asia, you've gone to Europe, and, you know, and still you love Philly.
Yeah. I think cities as a whole tend to be, I don't care what country you're in my experience, cities tend to have somewhat of a similar rhythm. That, you know, the food's a little bit different, but I think beyond that, food and language, I think, are the only two changes that we mostly find. Even that's somewhat limiting. You know, other portions of countries can be different. You know, the cities, I think, more ones of fabric through it. And yeah, and I've been privileged to do a little bit of traveling, and I think in that I've seen that Philadelphia does have something that is a little bit special. Every city had the secret philosophy that every place, no matter where it is, every place is beautiful and unique for the same reason that you hate it. And Philadelphia's answer to me is provincialism. It is remarkably unique because of its regionalism. There is not a city that I know of this size that still has so much inward focus. And that's both fantastic and frustrating because it's what holds us back, and it's also what makes us one of the best places in the world to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think a little bit of that travel has helped me realize that there is something here. This is not... No, I don't want to disparage anyone. This is very unique.
And now looking forward, where do you see Tech Philly a few years from now?
Great. We're still figuring that out. I mean, in some form, technically Philly will always exist. TP will always exist to cover technology community. As I talked, like a real struggle of ours we have to figure out with as a business, you know, we struggle with, again, the naivete of being 20-somethings. We want to do what is fun and what is important and what is meaningful, and also, though, you know, we have business. So technically Philly will always exist. In terms of how much staff time we can put into it, that'll be the only real variation. We'll always be in some form technically Philly will exist to cover a technology community. We'll just have to figure out how we do that. You know, are we in the future, should we be hiring a full-time editor, and so someone can really dedicate full-time to editorial content? In aggregate, for the three of us, I wouldn't think we have full-time hours on TP.
Right.
It's still not, it's not a full-time project.
Yeah.
It's our better known entity, but it's not, the biggest drivers. So, yeah, with the three of us, that's an important facet. Among the three of us, I don't know if we do 50 hours, the three of us, for TP, 50 hours a week. So we've talked, like, is the future hiring someone? I mean, we're looking at what our hiring would look like over the next couple of years, and we're not sure what that is. So I think, in short, Technically Philly exists to cover technology community. That'll be important because we think this community is going to do a lot of really important things in the future. So that'll exist. How it exists is what I think we're still figuring out.
So as a young entrepreneur, what are three, you know, going, focusing on the power of three, excellent. What are three tips that you would tell someone who wants to be you?
Oh, well, no one should ever want to be you. It's a huge mistake. That is...
It's a life of lack of fulfillment online.
So number one, very simple, very easy. Do something you actually love, because it will be, particularly in the beginning, really long hours for no money whatsoever. But it helped because I really fell in love with the technology community and its importance. I really, you know, writing has always been just a love of mine in whatever form. And building something of my own was something I found I really loved. So even at its worst, I am blessed enough to have the opportunity that I would say, this is still mine. This is something that I want to do. So number one is, do not do something that you think will make money. Do not do something that you think will be cool. Do not do something that you think will do whatever end goal other than something that will make you happy. As again, naive as that may sound, that is, I think, the number one driving factor, because you will not do it right, mm-hmm. or you will not follow through enough if you don't follow that. So first, it's what you actually love, number one. Two is, I think, you're going to have a real gut check about the time involved. Now we're considering ourselves a real business because we're down to 55 hours a week or so, each of us.
Wow.
And we look at, like, that's to us real sustainability. You look at other startups and it's like, I do 85 hours a week, but we're sustainable. And I'm just... Yeah. Our sense of sustainability is that you'd be able to take an outsider and put in our spot and it could still work. Mm-hmm. And we knew that. We're not paying ourselves king's ransom, but we're working, a reasonable amount of hours a week, and we're, getting paid a real salary. So for us, that's a real business. So I think number two, though, is to get there. Coming up on year three. To get there, we're a lot of freelancing in the day for 15 hours and then doing 5 hours deep after night. I would do that. Not all the time, but there were those days I couldn't do the hour that did 2009.
Yeah.
The wild history of 2009. So I think number two is definitely get prepared for, if you want to do it, it's an incredible outlay of time early on. But work toward a place where you'd be happy. And I'm gonna say number three. And I'm not going to be satisfied with this when I hear this later, but just what comes to my mind and what will most anger my dear friend Eric Smith of Geekadelphia is, though it should not be your first priority, and looking back, it should not be your driving organizational factor at start, have a clear idea of how you will fund the thing that is not advertising. Advertising is it's a great add-on, I think, but we've just so, from our very start, and even now, more convinced of the volatility mm-hmm. and low margins of advertising, that you need another go-round, and I do think it matters to make money. Eric Smith and I have a great philosophical debate, because it's funny that we see ourselves, we're seeing ourselves in these two different communities. We cover startups. And startups, they're like, God bless you from paying yourself $30,000 and like, what industry are you in and what are you doing? That they think we're like priests that we're just giving into this mission. And then we have kind of journalists and other people in the scene from news that think we're these corporate jerks because we talk about money.
Yeah.
And so it's fascinating to us because we are really believers that if you want your passion to be sustainable, has to make money.
Yeah. So is Eric in the jerk camp?
So Eric does things for love.
Yeah.
And where we argue is, I say, I do things for love, but I recognize if I want to continue to do the thing I love, money needs to be involved for me to really be able to do it.
Yeah.
And I think he would mostly agree, but he just chides me on it because, right, I mean, yeah, we're either seen as corporate hacks, like sellout hacks, or we're seen as these impoverished, well, when we're covering BC, they're like, oh, let me buy lunch. I'm like, we can't do that for ethical reasons. But they're like, you're pathetic. Like, look at you. Like, what you're doing to yourselves. Why are you in this industry? But then other people think we're like these corporate, like, yeah. It's amazing to see the spectrum. So number one is do something you actually love. Love first. Number two is be prepared for the incredible outlay of time. And number three is yes, it should not be exclusively advertising, but yes, have a clear vision for funding the thing. It's fine to have side projects. I have a little, you know, little story trouble, just something I just do because it's fun. But if you really want something, but I put, you know, 2 hours a month on it. If you want to actually do something and do it well and do it consistently, money's involved. That's just my belief. I think we get uncomfortable talking about that. We feel like it clouds our mission. But I feel very strongly that the technology community is important and we have a real mission, but we pay ourselves. And I will not feel badly about that. So that's my number three. Don't be afraid of it. And get ready for people to criticize you and criticize you often, as we do constantly.
And I'm going to ruin this triumvirate you have set up, but I'm going to add a fourth one that I see that Tech Philly doing all the time, which is collaboration.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not just sitting alone in your basement with your iPad saying, I'm a techie, here's me on my blog, WordPress. I mean, you're going out there and you're reaching to, like, you're reaching out to other nonprofits, civic groups.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we just had an event with Drexel University and Random Acts of Kindness. Yeah, constantly. We're involved with Philadelphia, work with constantly, working with it. And really, I think the bigger point that you're saying, though, and I really regret, I told you I was going to regret my, that I didn't include, I think the fourth can really become work with good people, and that includes collaboration, but I cannot underestimate, I would not still be here if I wasn't working with Brian, James Kirk, and Sean Blanda, who are brilliant and talented and incredibly hardworking, and together, the three of us have been able to work together, and that's what sustained it. The power of threes is indeed the check of decision making, but also an incredible support system. So yes, that is a very important fourth. That it's do something you love, get ready for the hard work, get ready to
figure out financing,
actually fund the thing, and work with people that are hardworking. Yeah, not necessarily your best friend. You should probably like the person, but not necessarily your best friend. That can be a mistake. It's someone who will actually work hard.
In fact, I think a little conflict is good. You don't want groupthink.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We do that. We don't have that problem. that's the balance of it, though. It's really good.
So, and you mentioned your story shuffle. So, what else? What other hobbies? When you know the little time that you're not putting in the long hours.
Well, actually, and I'll say everyone likes to joke. I never have any free time. Again, a big focus of ours about making this a real sustainable business is that we advocate free time.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real big business ethos of ours. When we move to the hiring phase, people will have free time. If you do not have free time, you are not in a sustainable position, in my opinion. Fact. So we do have free time. I do.
Yeah.
So story shuffles, I'm going to do. It's story shuffles. This very silly little, just you know, kind of themed storytelling event. I help host every couple months with some small circle of friends. Nothing really exciting. I love playing basketball.
Yeah.
I read. I love walking different neighborhoods. I like to eat. I love eating out. So, I'm a very obsessively proud homeowner in Fishtown, and so I love fixing up my house in small jobs here and there. So, yes, we have free time. It's incredibly important. It's space away from the three of us.
Yeah.
So, yes, we have free time, and it's incredibly important. I love biking. I'm also a bicyclist, and I love biking around Philadelphia. So maybe that's the fifth point, that, yes, really hard work in the beginning, but you are not sustainable until you actually have free time.
Cool. Well, it's shilling time, so what do you want to shill? What's coming up?
Shilling time?
Shill. It's time to shill.
Okay.
Wow, I didn't know we had that.
I think it's a great one. What is relevant? I mean, probably, though far off, our most recent big piece of news is we announced the dates for Philly Tech Week 2012, the last week of April 2012. And I think that's important to us because we're trying to broaden that as being seen as a starting to get other people to know, to be aware of it, right?
Yeah.
So the Beer Week, I want to just touch on them because they made a great lesson, and I'll leave this as my last, my real shill of Philly Tech Week. But something Beer Week that I rave about, I think Beer Week did a great job of connecting my general interest senses with the community. And so we talked, my colleague Sean talked to Daily News columnist Joe Sixpack, who really was one of the driving factors of Philly Beer Week. And I think he said something really interesting and profound about Philly Beer Week. He said, year one was about getting the existing beer community to know that there was a beer community. Year two was about getting the city to know about it. And year three and beyond was about getting a broader and broader general interest to know about it. So for us, Philly Tech Week, year one was about just the technology community to know about it. That was the real point. So people could recognize there's a real thing here. Year two, last week of April 2012, will be meant to be a much a start toward. You know, year two might just be a start of just more people knowing that there is a real technology community here, and that goes from development and design, but also to robotics and video game development and beyond that. So the shill is Philly Tech Week's a really, I think, is a really cool future driver of Philadelphia.
Yeah, and Philly Tech Week, who was nominated for the Philly Geek Awards, along with
congratulations again.
So congratulations.
We'll see you there August 19th in your tux,
right? I think I might actually get a tuxedo. I think that would be fun. I think I wore a tuxedo my junior prom, so I think last time.
This is Geek Prom.
It's true. Like, thank you very much for you must have been very desperate for someone to appreciate
that. No, this is great. We're
really looking forward to it. You've been on our minds.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. And good luck with many future Talkadelphia podcasts.
Thank you for listening to this 33rd episode of Talkadelphia. You can email us comments, questions, events around town, feedback, fan letters, hate mail, requests, or anything else that comes to mind at talkadelphia@gmail.com or via the contact form on our website at talkadelphiaradio.com. You can find our random musings at twitter.com/talkadelphia and facebook.com/talkadelphia. If you liked what you heard here, please listen and subscribe to our podcast at talkadelphiaradio.com or on iTunes by searching for Talkadelphia.
Thanks again to Christopher Wink from Technically Philly for sharing his musings. We would also like to thank Geekadelphia and Eric Smith as well for allowing Talkadelphia to tag along as guests to this year's Philadelphia Wizard World Convention. We had a great time. Till next week, for Kishwar, this is Gino. As always, stay classy, Philadelphia.
I just want to say